Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but how to make you successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing the show. I hope you had a great weekend. My son is pumped to be here. I hope you are as well. If you have any questions, comments, you want to reach out to me, feel free to reach out to me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can also email me at matthowtobuildatent.com. The show live streams on the Cross Politic channels and is on YouTube at 12 p.m. Pacific every weekday. If you haven't heard, we have a contest going on right now until March 31st. If you submit a business plan with your idea, with the company that you started already, or a company that you work for, big or small, and you submit a business plan and I pick it, you will win a swag bag full of HDBT stuff. I went to go pick up my mug and I realized I don't have it. But it's gonna be a mug, it's gonna be a shirt, it's gonna be a whole bunch of stuff that is gonna justify your time of putting this together. Because this is gonna be a great exercise for you. It's a great first step. It's a mandatory first step. You shouldn't be starting a company unless you have a business plan, because you have to think through all of the different areas, your finances, the operations, how you're gonna build the product, how you're gonna deliver the service. Is there competition? Are you the first in the industry? All of those things you have to consider and talk about in a business plan. And if you are working for a company, it's going to be a great excuse for you to get to know people in other areas of the company, because you're going to have to talk to them and find out about marketing, about finance, about operations. And not all the time you get to meet people in other departments. So if you're just looking for an excuse to get out there and network, if you listen to our show Friday about needing to meet people, build connections to prepare for a recession, this could be a great opportunity for you. And not only do you get a bag full of swag, you get an interview on this show. I will call you up, or a phone interview, or if you live in Hawaii, maybe we'll do it in person. And we'll talk about your business. We'll give you free advertising to thousands of people that listen to the show or watch the show. What better thing do you want when you're starting a business or for a business is free advertising? You'll take free advertising all day long. So go start working on that business plan. Listen to the show. The show's been previously where we talked about different aspects of it. We're going to be covering a few more pieces of it before the end of the month, so that you will be having enough time to put in the work and the due diligence to get that done. All right, you've probably looked at this title of the show, Get Rich Quick, Become a Christian, and be like, uh-oh, this guy is like a Joel Osteen. But before we get into what I exactly mean, and you take off those Joel Osteen heretic warning glasses, I want to talk to you about some statistics that really were shocking to me. And it says the percentage of U.S. investors with 25 million or more is just 47 years old. That's the top 0.1%. That is an incredible statistic. And that is a shout out to capitalism, that we are able to have such rich people at such a young age. I think that I was reading in a statistic, I don't have it in front of me, that is an 11-year drop since 2007 or 2008. So the age has been coming down, and these group of people that have been adding value to the economy have been growing their wealth and being rewarded. And so they have a ton of money to invest, and they're investing it in small businesses like yours and mine. And what's happening, though, our millennials are seeing these people, because they see them on social media, they see them on the tech blogs, they see them on Instagram, or sometimes they pretend that they're these 25 millionaire or more people, but they're not, and they're just having a facade. And people are starting to think that this is the norm. And what is happening is you get a survey like this. 65% of millennials aged 23 to 37 say that they'll reach seven figures by 45 or sooner. 65% of millennials. That means 22 years old or to 37 years old. So these aren't like young kids that don't know, or I guess they might not know anything, but they should be at an age where they are understanding and knowledgeable about finances, think they're going to hit seven figures. There is not 65% of the people in the country right now that have the seven figures in wealth. And what's even funnier about that is at the same time, these people are advocating for socialist policies. They're advocating for increased tax on the top percent earners of our country. And that kind of just contradicts what they are thinking. And it's also putting more roadblocks in the way for them to obtain that goal. So they're at one side, they are thinking they're going to be rich, they're desiring to be rich, and they're hoping they're going to be rich, and they think it's just this inevitability that it's going to happen. And then on the other side, they're trying to penalize, put up roadblocks, and take away the capitalist system that created these millionaires in the first place. And it's just absolutely insane. And I was going to say, I just don't understand it, but I totally understand it. They're a bunch of fools. My generation is a bunch of fools. There's no other explanation about it. And I am sorry for those of you listening that are millennials as well. I know you're not a fool. You are wise because you fear the Lord. So what do they need to do? And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how to not fall into that trap. If you are a millennial, been thinking that way, that you are just inevitably going to happen to fall into seven-figure wealth status and be a $25 million or more investor, I want to talk about that today. And I want to say this. You need to repent and believe in Jesus for two reasons. One, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you are thinking that you inevitably are going to be along with 65% of the population in seven-figure income for their or seven figures in wealth, you're a fool. You're deceived. And you are going after things and you are thinking the world works in a way it does not work. So you need to repent and believe. And I hope some of you are raising those Joel Osteen glasses where you're reading that title and thinking, oh man, here comes the health and wealth prosperity gospel. And so what do I mean by this? What do I mean by when you become a Christian, that is the best way to get rich? And I mean this by it, is that when we become Christians, we are adopted into Christ's family. And we automatically become richer than any other millionaire or billionaire in the world because we have unlimited resources from Christ. We have grace, undeserved favor from God, that we are considered a son, that we can call him Father, and that he will provide every single thing that we need. Every single thing that we need. And that is the get-rich quick play. There is no other get-rich-quick play in the world. They're all schemes. They're all lying. They're all deceptive because there is no way to get rich quick in this world. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of wisdom. It takes a lot of blessing from God. But you do automatically get inherited into the kingdom when you repent and believe. And that will be the beginning of wisdom for you. And why is that so important? And how does that relate to these statistics? Well, it keeps you from falling into traps that people are laying for you by saying, hey, come do this and come work in this scheme and you'll make millions of dollars like me in a matter of months. Or you might see them on the YouTube channels for advertising, walking through their really big houses and their really nice cars. They're probably rented. It's probably an Airbnb house where they're saying, if you just pay for this program, I will give you the secret to be rich instantly. When you begin to have wisdom and when you understand your place in this world, that you are an heir in the kingdom of God, and that God will give you every single thing you need, then you won't fall for those tricks because you're not desperate anymore. In fact, you are confident in who you are in Christ, and you know that you have all the wealth that you're ever going to need to do what God has called you to do. And it's so sad because in the 65% vein of these people, or because these people, these 65% of people think that they're going to be rich, they are going to try everything to do it. And then when they don't, that's when the depression's going to come. That's when the anxiety is going to come. That's when the nervous wreck's going to become. Because they have all these unrealistic expectations upon themselves. I hope you are not like that. And that is when their lives are going to collapse and they're going to have to turn to something. And that's when you need to repent and turn to Jesus. Well, actually, you need to repent today. We need to repent constantly, right? I need to repent every day. I am not saying that like somebody who doesn't need to. But that's what is at stake. And that is why it's so important to know who you are in Christ. Not because you are going to get millions of dollars when you become a Christian. Not because when you subscribe to Cross Politic into the monthly subscription, then God's going to reward you with 100-fold. I'm not talking like that at all. I don't mean that at all. What I mean is this. Is that you are free to not have to pursue millions and billions of dollars because you already have everything that you need in Christ. And that kind of is might fly in the face of what I was saying last week. You're saying, hey, last week you were saying being prepared, invest, pay off those debts. That's how you grow wealth. You should be pursuing that. And I just want to make this distinction that being wise with your money is important. Then there's the worldly wisdom to that, and I say worldly not in a bad way, but that you should be responsible and you should do the economically sound things and not go into debt and make investments, have life insurance, talk to a financial advisor, and that's all good too. But you need to have the confidence as well that when God calls you to do something like support a church or support a pro-life group or support Cross Politic, wink, wink, no, I'm just kidding. But whenever God calls you to do something, it might seem foolish to the world, but it would be foolish for you not to obey what God has called you to. So there's that fine balance. And when you understand that whatever God has called you to do, you're going to have the resources, you have the wealth, you have the millions and billions of dollars at your disposal to accomplish what God has for you. And that's the mindset that we need to have as Christians, as business people, as successful career people in the corporate world, is that our goal is not money in itself. Our goal is not wealth in itself. To be like the millionaires and billionaires that are not Christians today, that will have the freedom because of their money to do whatever they want and they serve themselves. But we have unlimited resources. We have more resources than them to serve our God. And that's freeing, and that takes all the expectations, that takes all the anxiety, and it takes all the pressure off of us because we have a God that when we walk in obedience has unlimited resources to support us, which should allow us to do radical things, that we should be living faithfully and being called and God and responding to God's call when he asks us to live beyond our financial statements, to live beyond our investments, to live beyond our means. Because when we're obeying God, God's going to call us to do things like that. And we can take a step of faith. And even though that looks foolishness to the world, that we can have the confidence that God has the resources to back up his commandments. He's back when I was going to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, Chuck Smith would always say that his commandments are his enablements. Whenever God's called you to do something, he's going to give you the resources to do it. So this should, with this understanding, with this foundation, this should spur you on to not have to be trapped into being a people person, a people pleaser, that you shouldn't be working in your job to make sure that your boss sees you, because you are not dependent on him to promote you. You know that God is the one who determines what your status is and how much money you have and how much wealth that you have, and that you don't have to be a people pleaser anymore. It should encourage you and it should spur you on to take financial risks like starting a business, because God has a safety net for you, that he's always going to take care of you and that he's going to be shaping you as you walk in obedience with him. This should spur you on to be incredibly generous with your time, with your money, so that you don't feel like you have to hoard it and that's your safety net, but God is your safety net. And that is what I want to just hit, is that if we don't have the foolish expectations of this world, and we have the confidence of Christ in that we know who we are, that we know that as when we walk in obedience to Him, that we are taken care of, and there's no doubt about it, that God is going to provide. We were just talking or reading through Exodus, my wife and I, and going through the desert. They were there 40 years, and God provided for them. Millions of people living in the desert for 40 years. That is impossible back in that day. But yet, God provided for them. And so too with us, when we go through desert times, that God is always going to provide for us. And so we should be living differently because of that truth. We should be wise when God has just placed us where we're at and we don't feel like God has called us to do anything radical. We should be being good stewards. We should be raising our families. We shouldn't be going in debt. We shouldn't be spending things on wasteful pursuits. But then when God has called us, let us rise to the occasion and let us obey. And I hope you see that distinction. If you have any questions, please reach out to me about that. I'd love to discuss this further because God has all called us to do radical things. And just as much as we need to be good stewards, we also need to be faithfully obedient and to shoot for those high things. We need to rise above the expectations of this world and believe that God has mighty things for us to do. So let me ask you this. What can you do this week to step out in faith? Is there something that God has called you to do that you've been kind of on the fence about? And what can you do? What one step can you do to go into that right direction? And then see what God is going to do in your life. If you want to be rich beyond measure, repent and believe in Jesus, and you will be in a family. You will be in God's family. You will be royalty. And you'll have unlimited resources, not to serve yourself, but to serve the King and to bless others, bless your family, and bless the community around you. With that, we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.